Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. In our previous shiur, we mentioned a general introduction to the Dapim Yud Beis Yud Gimel till the top of Daf Yud Dalid that we're involved with the general issue of Hafroshes, of tithing. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, Hachnosas Chavilo Shokitnis, one who brings into his house, or brings into his yard, he brings in bundles of kitnis. Now, kitnis is a category of vegetation that is in contrast to, let us say, grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Kitnis are, sometimes it's translated as legumes. The question here is the gathering in of bundles of kitnis. Does that establish their obligation to be tithed? In our previous sugya, we were mentioning in light of the discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where an element of logic was used concerning truma, for example, the Mishnah mentioned that the obligation to tithe truma, to reach the obligation, to become obligated, is something that does not take place on Yom Tov. Because in order for truma to be obligated, for the truma tithe to become required in tithing from grains, the grains have to undergo a process that is not done on Yom Tov. That has to do with the threshing of the grains and piling them up into a pile and smoothing out that pile. That's called Meruach Kri. That activity does not take place on Shabbos nor Yom Tov. What about when it comes to legumes or kitnis? Let's try to use the expression kitnios henceforth without translating. What is the din? And this sugya is really continuing on the heels of that which we mentioned in our previous sugya. In our previous sugya, we saw at the top of the page a Tanaic source in which a Machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi appeared concerning one who gathers together and brings into his yard, into his enclosed area, sheaves of grain for the purpose of moilun melilos. That has to do with crushing the grains by hand and eating them in small quantities, as opposed to gathering together large quantities of grain, crushing the shells, making a pile of them for the purpose of making flour and dough out of it. Melilos was different. So concerning molim melilos, we saw, does that bring about an obligation for the grains to be tithed? Rebbe said yes, and Rebbe Yosef said no. Now, in light of that, we continue with our Gemara, 8 lines from the top. There is a Roman numeral number 1. Further down the page, you see in the middle of the page a squiggle underlined Iko Diamri with a Roman numeral number 2 to the right-hand side of the Gemara text as well. In the under the Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara, Mivneh is the structural note, you see these diamonds, and you can see there's an attempt to show a difference in the diamonds. These represent Shnei Lishonis Hafuchois, two opposite versions, Shel Abaye, of Abaye, Im Chavilo Shel Kitnios Toiv Lois, Loshon Tevel. Does the bundling up of the Kitnios create a status of tevel. Tevel is the status that vegetation has once it becomes obligated to be tithed. And once something reaches a tevel status, one cannot eat from it until he tithes. In the course of the Gemara, you'll see the expressions machloikis and divrei hakol highlighted with a double underline. The terms mean machlokas, when is there a machlokas, and we're referring to Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Buda, and when is there agreement, that's divrei hakol. Now that we've mapped out the sugya a bit, let's turn to the Gemara with the emphasis on kitnios. Omar Abaye, machlokas b'shibolon. The machlokas we saw between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Buda above concerned sheaves of grain. Avol b'kitnios, when it comes to that type of vegetation, so divrei hakol, everyone will agree, asuraisa tivla, their bundling, their being tied into bundles, is what creates the tevel status, the obligation to now tithe it. Let us glance at Rashi, who's found a little bit, about halfway down the page. Machlokes b'shibolon, b'hano hu depota Rabbi Yossi. In the case of sheaves of grain, Rabbi Yossi will tell you that simply bundling them together or bringing them in for melilos purposes, that's where he says one is exempt. The ruban ledisha, the ingornanella b'miruach, the majority of grains are threshed in quantity, and then piles are created, and then the pile is smoothed out. That's what Ein Gornan Ela B'miruach. Miruach is the smoothing out of the piles of, well, it's large quantities of grain. Hence, Rabbi Yossi Buda said, under those circumstances, when you're gathering the grains and bringing them in for melilos purposes, which is eating them and the grains in small quantities without mass threshing and pile making, there is no obligation to tithe. Rashi continues, Avol Kitnios. Yesh b'nei adam harbei. There are a lot of people, she'ein choyvtin oison yachad, that they don't crush them together. Crushing kitnios is the attempt to extricate the seeds from the pods in which the kitnios grow. Many people don't choyvtin oison yachad all together. Ela kedei, kedei roson, just enough to cook an immediate amount, pot full of. Lefiko hachnososin b'chavilin, therefore, Their final stage in production before use is gathering them in bundles. Zehu gornon. So the bundling up of the kitnios and bringing them into your yard or your barn or whatever, that is their gemar malacha. So then when we say gemar malacha, it means final stage of production before which you can actually use them until you tithe. Continuing in the Gemara now, Lemo Mesele. This is a Lemo is a question. So can we say the following supports Abaye's teaching? Mi shehoyu lo chavile tilson shel tevel. Tilson is a type of kitnis. So if a person has bundles of tilson, that's tevel. Hareze koisesh umachashev kama zera yesh bohem. A person then crushes them. Kosesh is their form of threshing, and calculates. He estimates. Mechashiv, he thinks, estimates how much grain, how much seed there is, how much actual bean there is. Yesh umafrish al hazera veino mafrish al ha'etz. So he tithes in accordance with the amount of Zera, seed that is there, and he doesn't factor in the amount of wood or stems. Eitz is the non-edible part. My lav, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah, he, is this not to be understood as Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah? The Omar Hossam, who said earlier in the case of grains, by Shibolin, lo tavla, ha tavla. In the case of grains, the merely gathering them in for, let's say, melilos would not create tevel, and here the equivalent use of them does create tevel. The equivalent meaning the small quantity where it's been bundled and you're going to be using small quantities, it is considered tevel. So that's what Abaye pointed out when he said, Divrei HaKol Asuraisa Tivla, everyone agrees that simply bundling them together is their Gemar Malacha. Because from that point onwards, you're going to be using small quantities. There's no more actual processing of the original vegetation. The Gemara continues and says, lo, this unnamed source is not necessarily according to Rabbi Yossi Biuda, Rebbe he. It is taught in the spirit of Rebbe. Well, e Rebbe he, Mayur Tilson. If it's taught according to Rebbe, why speak about Tilson? Afilu Shibolin Nami. Even Shibolim, Rebbe had said, and that's a bigger Chiddush. Even grains that you gather together and use in small quantities, Rebbe says, are obligated in being tithed. So if that's the case with regard to grains, which is, it's relatively speaking, unusual use, and still that creates obligation, certainly regarding the tilson, whose usual use is in small quantities, all the more so the bundles of tilson will be obligated. So why have a source which is, would be anticlimactic? You have a source that could have told us a bigger Chiddush if it's in fact authored by Rebbe. Elomai, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. So you want to say the source is according to his opinion. L'shamin on sharmine kitnias v'kol shekein tilson. Well then, it should have taught other types of kitnios, where by other kinds of kitnios there is a tendency to thresh a large amount and make a pile of them, and if that's the case, a bigger chiddush would have been concerning other kitnias, and all the more so tilson, which is added in rather small quantities to individual pots, where that's all the more so obligated to be tithed. So if the source with that we opened up with, the Tanaic source above, the Mishoyul Chavili Tilson, is taught in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Biuda, it wouldn't have spoken about Tilson, it would have spoken about even other types of kitnios. Ella, the Gemara says, and the main transition here is not in the Gemara text, but Rashi adds, rather, we're going to go with Rebbe. The Tilson source is according to Rebbe. Ella, Tilson is derichalei. In other words, we said before that if it were in accordance with Rebbe, so why feature Tilson, talk about Shibolim, talk about sheaves of grain as being obligated? No, I have to tell you about Tilson. Sakhda Chamina, without this source, even though it's authored by Rebbe, without telling me about Tilson, so I would have thought, Hoyel v'tam eitzo piri yoshove. There's a unique feature with this type of vegetation. The stem, or the pod, the eitzo, the non-edible part, and the pre, the seed, the bean, they have the same taste. So I would have thought, lifrosh nami I eitzo, that in tithing you have to calculate the amount of eitz that is there as well, because it also has taste to it. Its taste matches the taste of the beans. That's in the case of Tilson. Komash Malon, the source, therefore had to tell me that no, in tithing you calculate only the amount of bean that is there and don't factor in the amount of eitz that is there. Iko Diamri, and now another approach. There's a Rashi underneath the Gemara text, around the fourth line of the Gemara text, Iko Diamri, Omar Abai, Machloikis Bishibolim. Bano Mechayev Rebbe. In the case of sheaves of grain, Rebbe would say that even if you brought them in for melilos, that Rebbe is Mechayev Shaharbe Koinsin Oisam Lilos Ukloyas Shehain Gornan Klos, or roasted grains. People will gather sheaves of grain for even using small amounts, roasting the grains and eating them as is. Aval Bekitnias Tam Hachnososam Lemiruach Vasuraisa Lotivla. This Loshen is the opposite of what we had before. When it comes to standard kitnios, the general gathering in of kitnios is four miruach, making a large pile of threshed kitnios. And therefore the bundling up of them as such is not the tevel stage. It doesn't create the tevel status. There's further processing that takes place until we can say that it becomes obligated in being tithed. So now let's read this in the Gemara. Ikar d'amri, Amar Abaye, you see where we are in the inverted, the diamond with the bottom tip shaded in. Machlokes b'shibolin. This, by the way, this opening, machlokes shilm, is the same as inversion number one. That's black on white. I don't need Abaye to tell you that. In the source itself, you saw they had a machlokes concerning sheaves of grain in the realm of the Melilos. Avol, we continue. Avol b'kitnios. Divrei hakol asuraisa lo tivla. Everyone will agree that the mere bundling of it will not create tevel. So that everyone will agree it doesn't create tevel. Not only Rabbi Yossi Berbuda, but even Rebbe. Meisvei, a question that lasts a couple of lines. Mi shehoyu lo chavilei tilson shel tevel. Hareze koisei shu mechashev kamo zera yesh bohen. This is exactly the same source as we saw above. So what are we describing here? We have chavile tilson. You know, it's tilson is a type of kitnis. It's bundled together, and it's called tevel at the bundled stage. My lav, tevel, tavul, shel, truma. Are we not saying that it becomes obligated in the basic truma tithe at this early point, that it's merely bundled together, so that tevel is established by the chavilin, and that is not what Abaye said. Abaye said that everyone holds asuraisa, which are the same thing that means the bundling together. Asuraisa osar is to tie together. So the Abaye said asuraisa lo tivlo, and here we have chavile tilson, which is the same thing as the bundles of tilson, which is a kitnius. It is considered tevel. That's a problem for Abaye. The Gemara answers loy. This source mentions tevel, but it's not referring to tevel requiring the basic truma tithe. This source is talking about an unusual case. An exceptional case. Tevel tovel shel trumas meiser. It's, in fact, bundles of meiser rishon tilson that need to have the trumas meiser tithed removed, separated from them, from the meiser rishon. We'll go over this, but let's just read a little more Gemara. Uchad Rabbi Avoam, Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, and this case is in accordance with the scenario that Rabbi Avo describes. Yom Rabbi Avo, Om Rabbi Shimon Lokish, Maisa Rishon, Shegdimoi b'shibolin. A Hikdimo means came early. It's a reference to a Levi that comes early. Early means he comes before the Kohen. When, and we're talking about a case where he comes to take his Maiser Rishon tithe, b'shibolin, when the items are still in sheav form. So a Levi took his Maiser Rishon prematurely, but he did take it. Shmoi toivloi l'trumas Maiser. The fact that the Levi showed up and he took it as a tithe, it's considered... Now it's considered established in needing the Trumas Meiser tithe to be removed from it. There's a halacha that a Levi gets 10% of the harvest, and every Levi that takes his 10% has to give 10% of his 10%, which you can say is 1% of the original harvest. He, the Levi, has to give a tenth of his tenth to the Kohen. That's Trumas Meiser. So that, technically speaking, or I should say objectively, we're still in the sheev form, and that is not is not capable of establishing the Tevel status. That's Tevel with regard to the general need for tithing, your basic Truma and the Maaser Rishon, etc. All of the required tithes. However, a contingency case, a Levi came prematurely, took the Tilson in sheev form. Since the Levi took it, it becomes called, the name, the categorization of it is as a tithe, it's a Maaser Rishon, and with that, there descends upon it the need for tithing, the Trumas Maaser tithe that a Levi gives to a Kohen. But, as we said, in general, the fact that the kitnis is in, or the tilson representative kitnis is in a bundle form, will not obligate it in being tithed, according to the second Lashon of Abaye. And we say not obligated means according to all opinions, even according to Rebbe. So we now continue in the Gemara. Koseish Lomali. This is a technical question. Notice we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. It comes from the source describing the Levi who took his bundles of Tilson prematurely. And what does the source say? Mr. Levi, you came and took bundles of raw Tilson. You, before giving the tithe that you, the Levi, are expected to give to the Kohen, which we call Trumas Maaser, you have to crush them, you have to split open the pods, and remove the grain, the seeds, or the beans, and give the more processed material to the Kohen. In other words, we're expecting of the Levi to give to the Kohen something better than he, the Levi, took. The Levi took it in sheaf form. You have to give your tithe in terms of the in bean form. So the Gemara asks, Koseish Lomali, why is the Levi obligated to process it further in before giving it to the Kohen? Let the Levi say to the Kohen, Ki hechi diavuli, just as they gave it to me. Of course, he came to take it early, but all right. Just as they gave it to me, Hachi yahiv nolach, so too I will give it to you. I received it in sheev form. You take it in sheev form, in pod form, in other words, in the unprocessed form. Omar Rava Knasa, Rava says, this is a knas, a fine, that we levy against the Kohen. He came and took it early. And the Torah says there's a special order in having the tithes take place. First, you take the Truma Gedola, then the Maaser Rishon, and then from that, the Trumas Maaser is removed, and then there's the Maaser Sheni. There's an order. It's not Hefkerus over here. It's not anarchy. There's an order. There's a procedure, an order to the tithing. And you, Mr. Levi, violated that by taking the Maaser Rishon before the Kohen ever received his Truma Gedola. So, as a result of violating the Torah's expectation, we expect more of you than that which you took. And that's why Koseish. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting this. Ben Levi, Shenosnu Lo, Shibolim B'Maaserasov. A Levi, Ben Levi means a Levi, a Levite, that was given sheaves as his maaseres, and that's an indication that he came prematurely, because shibolim are not obligated to being tithed, so it must be that he came early, he took them. What happens now? Oysa oysan goren. Before giving the grain tithe to the Kohen, which is the Trumas Maaser, he has to make it into grain form. That's to thresh it and winnow and make a pile of grain. Anovim, oison, yayin. If he took grapes that are designed for making wine, then he took his Maaser Rishon early. So before giving it to the Kohen, he, the Levi, has to make it into wine. Zaysim, if he took olives that are designed for, allocated for or specified for olive oil production, and he took his Maaser Rishon in the Zayas in the raw olive state, well, Oysa Oysan Shemen, Umafrish Lam Trumas Maaser, Venoisla Koyan. He has to process it first, then tithe the Trumas Maaser and give it to the Koyan. Shekeshem Shetruma Gedola Eino Niteles Elo Min HaGoren, just like Truma Gedola is taken and given to the Kohen only once it's reached the grain stage, which is after threshing and winnowing. Ooh, Min HaYekev. Yekev is technically is a pit, but it's a reference to a pit full of wine. So just like Truma Gedola is tithed only once the items have been processed. Kach Trumas Maaser, Eino Niteles, Elo Min HaGoren, U Min HaYekev. So too the Levi, when he gives the Trumas Maaser, he has to give it in the, we'll call it the ready form, the processed form. Now, another question. Here, you'll need the arrow to the, that you see to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating go back to Amud Aleph. And let's do that. So we go back to Amud Aleph, and we had a source that spoke about the Chavilei Tilson of Tevel. Kosation, we spoke about the Ben Levi, and he separates the Trumas Maaser tithe u'mechashev. Now, mechashev means in an estimated form. He estimates 10% of that which he received. The Gemara asks, what do you mean estimate? Mechashev? Ha, medida boy. Trumas Maaser needs to be measured. It is true that Truma Gedola, the Truma tithe given to the Kohen, the Torah does not specify an amount, so it's given any amount, technically speaking, is okay. It's given through approximation. There's a rabbinic quantity, 1/50, but it's not something measured out. However, Trumas Maaser, what do it mean? That's something that needs to measure. It has to be 10% of what the Levi has. So the Gemara says, Ha-mani Rabbi Elazar, Ha-mani Abba Elazar ben Gimel hi. This is the source that we saw in Amud Aleph that mentioned Mechashev is in accordance with this, we'll call unique opinion. It's the opinion of Abba Elazar. The Sanya Abolozer ben Gimel Oimer, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. Now this pasuk is in the context of the Levium. In fact, the series of psukim that you find in Bamidbar Perek Yudches, psukim Chavav through Chavtes, and maybe a little more, but it's focused on the Levium. So it says there, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. V'nechshav means estimate. Your truma, the truma means that which you have to tithe to give to the kayin. Now the word trumaschem appears. B'shtei trumas akosa medaber. The Torah is referring to two kinds of truma. Achas truma gedola, the achas trumas maaser. Truma gedola is the standard basic truma tithe that everyone agrees is given through estimation, and trumas maaser is also featured here. K'shem she truma gedola nitelas ba'oimid of machshava, just like Truma Gedola is tithe through estimating. Machshava is a situation where you don't physically separate the tithe, but you look upon one quadrant of your pile and you dedicate that quadrant as in your mind's eye as the tithe, and you eat from the other section of the pile. So just like those rules apply to Trum Gedola, Tach Trumas Maaser, Nitelis Ba'oimed Uva Machshava. So too with regard to Trumas Maaser, it's taken through estimation, and also it can be separated without a physical separation. So that's what the source that we saw in Amav that said regarding Trumas Maaser, Mechashev, that is in accordance with this Tanner, Abolozer Ben Gimel. Gufa, again a quote from that which we saw in Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Maaser Rishon Shekdimo B'Shibolim. A Levi who takes Maaser Rishon before the obligation to tithe arises, he took it in sheave form. Shmoi Toivloi L'Trumas Maaser. The fact that he took it as Maaser Rishon, that creates the Tevel status, even though it hasn't reached Gemar Malacha, the final stage of processing that's required before tithe obligation sets in hasn't taken place here, but the label of Trumas of Maaser Rishon has been established, and that also that creates Tevel. That's Shmo Tovlo. It's Shmo is a reference to its status, makes it Tevel with regard to Trumas Maaser. The Levi cannot eat from it until he gives the Kohen his percentage. My taima. Why is this? Amar Rava hayu v'yotza olav shame meiser. Let's take a look at Rashi. Hayu v'yotza olav shame meiser. Rashi is just across the mirror line, two down. V'rachmon amar. The Torah says v'harei moisem mimenu meiser mina meiser. The Levi is to tithe from his meiser, from his meiser. You see the shorash, the root of that word is eser. From his 10% he received, he has to remove 10%. Meiser, a 10%, mina meiser, from the meiser that he received. Mishenikra meiser, you see from this pasuk that once something is labeled meiser, his kikom litrumaso. The Torah requires him, the Levi, to take off the trumas meiser. Trumaso means his meiser, the tithing obligation that rests upon the Levi, and that's Trumas Meiser. So we see from the Pasuk this idea that Shmoi Toivloi, the label Meiser Rishon, is what creates the shame Tevel. Now we look at the side, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Meiser Rishon Shigdimu B'Shibolim Potter Mitruma Gedola. True, the Levi, once he takes the grains in sheave form, he is obligated to take 10% of that and give that as his Trumas Meiser tithe. However, the Truma Gedola that would have been removed from this 10% that the Levi took, that is not going to be separated. Truma Gedola is not taken off of that which the Levi took in this case. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Mice, we're reading in the Gemara, Mice Rishon, She'igdimo b'shibolim, the case of the Levi coming prematurely to take his Mice Rishon in sheave form, those sheaves are poter mitruma gedola. The Levi does not tithe from that, the Truma Gedola tithe, the initial Truma tithe that is given to the Kohen. Shenemar v'harei moisam mimenu trumas Hashem meiser mina meiser. This is the pasuk dealing with the Levium. It's pasuk Chavav, and it says that the Levi shall remove from it a tenth of the tenth he received. Meiser mina samayit omatiloch. That's what I require the Levi to take off 10% and give that to the Kohen, the low Truma Gedola, Trumas Meiser Mena Meiser. But not both. Not the Truma Gedola tithe as well as the Trumas Meiser. Omar le Rav Papa Labaye, Iachi, if this is how you're going to darshan the psukim, well, afilu higdimo bikrinami. Imagine a Levi comes earlier than a Kohen to grains that underwent the Gemar Malacha. They underwent their final stage of production, namely threshing and piling up. Levi comes at that point and takes his Meiser Rishon before the Kohen appears. Are you going to say that the Levi has to, in addition to, are you going to say that just like just like we darshan a moment before, Meiser Mer Meiser, Mati Loch, and not Truma Gedola, U Trumas Meiser? Are you going to say that in this case he's also exempt from the Truma tithe? Omar Lei, Olech Omar Cross, Rav Abai answers Rav Papa regarding your question. The Pasuk says you can't say thusly, because there is a Pasuk that says, Mikol Matnosechem Torimu Es Kol Trumas Hashem. And this Pasuk says that from all the gifts you, Levium, receive, you have to separate all the Trumos. In other words, in addition to Trumas Meiser, you have to separate Truma Gedola as well. Morasu Mavrois, what is it that you see to say thusly? In other words, before you said an exemption when he takes it in sheave form, exemption from Truma Gedola, from the basic Truma tithe, but yes, obligated when the Levi takes it in the grain state? The Gemara answers, there's a big difference. Hai idgan. For high, low, idgan. The word idgan, you can see the shorish of the word is dogon, the grain. When the grain is piled up, it's called dogon. And it is regarding dogon that the Torah says that you have a truma obligation. The pasuk says, reishis digoncha. Reishis is the truma tithe. Truma is removed from something that's called dogon. V'hai lo yidgan, the shibolim, in the sheev form, it hasn't, it's sheaves of grain, but it's not called dogon. Dogon is that which underwent the threshing and piling up of grains outside of their, when they've been removed from the their shells and their chaff. So when you have Maisa Risha Shekdima Vishibolim, then the Levi is potter, he's exempt from Truma Gedola. However, if the Levi came before the Kohen in the Kri pile of grain stage, there he is not exempt from Truma Gedola. As we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side, we have a topic heading. And after we read the topic heading, we have some geometric forms that we want to explain. The Nosei reads on the side, Kesher bein gemar melocha lemaisris v'isur melocha b'shabbos. We're going to be looking for a connection between the gemar melocha legabi maisris. That means the final stage of vegetation processing, grain production, which results in the obligation to tithe. In other words, there's a final stage. We've been discussing this throughout today's shiur extensively. The different stages leading up to the point at which grains become obligated in being tithed. The Isur Melocha B'Shabbos. There are two concepts here. You have something called Gemar Melocha, the final stage regarding tithes, and Isur Melocha B'Shabbos, Klomar. We mean to say, Ha'im ha'pu'ula shemevili de gemar melocha b'maisris, can it be said that the action, the activity that brings the grains to the tithing obligation, have a melocha le'inyan Shabbos, would be a prohibited activity with regard to Shabbos? Shabbos, of course, is a day in which one cannot engage in 39 different avos melachos, primary types of activities. The activity that is required in order to bring grains to their tithe obligation is that identical to what would be classified as a melacha regarding Shabbos. So now let us pay note of the structure of the Gemara. So we have a mivneh, and you notice Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent, the diamonds represent shnei lishoinois bedivrei Rebbe Elazar, two versions of Rebbe Elazar. We will see then triangles a little bit later appearing in two different directions. These are maskif. When we get to loshen number 2, you'll see two questions bekivunim hafuchim, in opposite directions. Now let's look at the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. Where is a Tanaic source in Maseches Maisris that says, HaMekalef Se'urim. Mekalef is to peel, Se'urim are barley. These are, to peel them when they're raw. Mekalef Achas, Achas Ve'oichel. If he peels them one by one and eats them that way, they are exempt from Maisris, that you don't have to tithe. If he peeled a number of them and accumulated them in his hand, so he's chayav, he's obligated to tie them. This is considered its kvius, it's being established as something that now needs to be tithed. Omar Rebbe Elazar, v'chein l'shabbos. Likewise, with regard to Shabbos, this would be considered a malacha. Rashi, on the lower part of the narrow lines, V'chein l'Shabbos, achas achas lo have mefarek tolda tadosh. Peeling them one by one would not be considered this extension of the Moloch of Dosh. The Dosh is the Av Moloch, that's the archetype of threshing, and then there are derivatives of it. Mefarek is an expression that refers to one of the derivatives of threshing. So removing the, peeling them one by one, would not be the tolda of dosh. Dikilachar yadu, it's done in an unusual way. And things that are done unusually, they are not isur doraisas. They're not prohibited from the Torah. Avo mishikotson biyodoy havio tolda, toldas disho v'chayev. However, gathering a handful of the peeled barley would be in effect a tolda of disha. This is an extension of threshing. So the Gemara asks, is that really so? Eini v'ha rav mekalfa lei devisu kosi kosi. Devisu is his wife. Rav's wife would peel for him cupfuls of barley on Shabbos. Rabbi Chia mekalfa lei devisu kosi kosi, and likewise the wife of Rabbi Chia would peel for him cupfuls of barley on Shabbos. Elo I itmar asefo itmar. There was a comment made by Rabbi Lozer v'chein l'Shabbos. It's a comment that has relevance to the continuation of the source, the sefer, the end. It says, Hamoilum lilos shochitim, one who does melilos, and we referred to this before, the crushing of the shell of wheat grains, menapeach al yad v'ochel. He can, we'll say, blow away the chaff, the peels, al yad, and eat. V'im nipeach v'nosin l'socheko chayav. If, however, he accumulated them in the cheko. Cheko sometimes is translated as one's lap. It's a reference to, Rashi says, the end of his garments. In other words, it seems that he would fold up the end of his robe and in there accumulate an amount of grains. And then, if that would be done, he would be chayav in being mafresh. He would have to tithe. Amar Rabbi Elazar v'chein l'Shabbos. And regarding this, the seifa, he says, likewise, with regard to Shabbos, this would be a melacha on Shabbos. Maskif lo Rabbi Abba bar Momol, v'resha l'maiser in l'Shabbos lo. And the resha, are you telling me then that it does create the, we saw there, v'kim kilei v'nosin l'soch yodo is chayav, it does create a chiyuv maisrus, but it's not a malacha on Shabbos. Umiika midi, is there anything to the inyan Shabbos lave gemar malacha that regarding Shabbos it wouldn't be considered a full activity, a full malacha? The maiser have gemar malacha, and yet with regard to maisrus, it is considered a complete final activity. So Rabbi Abba bar Momol doesn't like this split. Notice we have an inverted triangle now, and it's a long dechia, rejection. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes Breider of Idi velo, and what, that can't be? It can't be that there's a split between them, meaning that regarding Maestris it's considered a gemar malach, and regarding Shabbos it's not considered a malach v'ha garnon lemaiser. Disnan, regarding gornon is an expression referring to the, literally it's a granary, but it's a final stage. A final stage for bringing something to become obligated in Maestris. And now Rashi adds, just a technical note, second wide line under the Gemara, Ezugon Maestris le'el mino, before this source, Airi beperos, it speaks about fruits. The Ka'omar, and it says, Emosai gemar malachtum likoba lemaiser. What is the final stage to establish the maiser obligation? So we continue. Vare gornon lemaiser disnan, ezu gornon lemaiser. What is the goren? Again, the term goren is the final stage that now obligates different items to become to need to be tithed before you can eat from them. So there are different vegetations mentioned. Hakishuin v'hadiluin misheyif kisu. We don't have to translate them because we need to have a tradition in order to translate them. But kishun and diluin, these types of vegetations, when they're yifkisu. Rashi says on the third wide line under the Gemara, under Gemara text, misheyifkisu misheyinital pikas shalahem. So what is the pikas? Fu kemin perach b'roishoy. It's a little type of flower-looking attachment, adhesion to the fruit, to the vegetation. Tapuchin will assume are apples. Apples have this type of, we'll call it maybe it's a blossom that remains attached to the apple for a significant amount of the time the apple is developing. It eventually dries up and falls off. That's the pikis. So the goren of for Maestris, the final stage that now obligates the Kishum Luim in being tithed is the removal of the pikis. The Gemara continues, V'shelo piksu, if, let us say, he gathers together the Kishum Luim while the blossom is still on, but he makes a pile of the Kishum Luim, these different types of vegetations. He makes a pile of them when the pikas is still attached to them. So that's what it says here. V'shelo piksu mishiyamid aremo. Aremo is a pile. Utnan nami gabi betzolim. The same thing with regard to botzol. A botzol we can assume means onions. Mishiyamid aremo. When you pile up onions, that now obligates them in being tithed. Regarding onions, if a person brings onions into his house and makes a pile of onions in his house, that is not a malacha. Rashi says, four lines from the bottom at the toward the end of the line, Lenin Shabbos, Meshevi, Betzolim, Lebeso, once a person brings onions into his house, Ein Hamodas Arema Malacha. Piling them up is not an isser. There's an isser of something called me'amer. That's taking sheaves of grain in the field and piling them up together as sheaves of grain. That's an isser av melocha of me'amer. The equivalent of doing that with onions once they're brought in the house is not an av melocha. But what do we see here? We see that at that point you now have to tie the onions. So you're doing something on Shabbos, you're allowed to pile them up, but it's at that point that the Chiyuv Hafrosha sets in. V'ilu gabi Shabbos, hamodos areima poter. As we just said, that regarding Shabbos activities, piling up onions on Shabbos is acceptable. So we have an acceptable action on Shabbos, but that same action results in the requirement, the obligating of the onions to be tithed. What are you going to say then now? What are you going to say now in terms of these two issues of Gemar Melocha Lagabi Meiser and Melocha Lagabi Shabbos? So he says, what are you going to say? How do you have to define things? Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. When it comes to Shabbos, only if it's a Meleches Machsheves, that's a type of activity that requires certain element of precision, of professionalism. Rashi calls it meleches umenus, a craft, something that is, as we say, it requires skill and talent and planning and design. That is what is forbidden on Shabbos. And so that's in general. Hochanami, so too, here, with regard to the piling of onions, Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah, only something that requires skill and planning is that which is forbidden, as opposed to onion piling. So that's as far as Shabbos is concerned. But as far as Gemar Melocha Lagabi Maestris is concerned, that does constitute a Gemar Melocha. Let's take a look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Elomayis Loch Lemeimar Afal Gav De Lemeister Avya Melocha. Even though piling up onions regarding establishing the point at which you now must tithe it is considered a formal activity, a formal last stage. L'Shabbos lo have a melacha, but regarding Shabbos, piling above onions is not categorized as a melacha. The melechas machshevis, she melechas umenusos v'torah. The forbidden activity on Shabbos is something that's called a skilled action. Shemismicha, parsha Shabbos, melechas mishkan v'vayakel. The Torah talks about the prohibition of Shabbos right next to the Torah's discussion on the building of the Mishkan. And how the construction of the Mishkan involved skill. V'hasam leches machsheves k'siv. There, the term, the Torah makes an allusion to something called meleches machsheves, planned, skilled activities. Now, we continue in the Gemara. We've been mentioning along the way the terms molel and melilos and menapeach al-yad. Here, the Gemara wants to define these things. And we have a double underline to highlight these expressions. Ketzad molel. How is molel done? Abaye mishmeid Rav Yosef Omar, chado achado. That means two fingers, the thumb and one's pointer finger, the second finger, that he would roll the grain with its shell on it until it gets crushed. So by pressing the grain between your finger and your thumb, you are doing molel. Rav Avyo Mishmei the Rav Yosef Omar Chado Atarti. Molel is the thumb, the use of the thumb and two fingers. Rava Omar Kevon de Mishani. Rava says, as long as you are doing it in an unusual fashion, afilu chada akulu nam, even one, using all your fingers pressing on one finger, and I suppose it's the grain is supported on your thumb, and you're using all your fingers to crush it. It's also a shinui, an unusual way of doing things, and then it becomes allowed. Ketzad menapeach. What is menapeach? We said before that you can be menapeach al yad on Shabbos. Omar Rav Ado Barava Omar Rav menapeach mikishrei. We're at the top of Yudal Rav mikishrei etzba'osav ulamala, from your knuckles upwards toward the tip of your fingers. In other words, if you were to hold the grains there and then menapeach, that would be okay. Now, menapeach has to do with it's a process of blowing or causing wind to blow over the grains and have the chaff and the shells removed. So the way to do it, that it would be acceptable on Shabbos, is by holding the grains from within your fingers and not in the palm of your hand. Mochaku alo b'marava. In Eretz Yisrael, they ridiculed Rav Ado's explanation. Kevon de mishani afilu b'kulo yoda nami. As long as you're doing it b'shinui, you can use shinui again. It means in a strange or an unusual way that you wouldn't do it in the normal fashion. Even if you're using your whole hand, that's acceptable. Elo Omar Rabbi Elazar menapeach biyodo achas ubechol koychei. You can hold the grains in one hand and blow upon them with all of your strength. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.